Hello, and welcome to the Honest Hour podcast. I am Christina Mazurek, your host, and I believe that to be honest is to try to convince someone of your discovered truth of something. Your honesty is your work, your story, your relationships, and your worldview. The Honest Hour podcast is a collective voice of global influences. It is through honest conversations out loud that we can rise together through a more diverse understanding of the world. This is your honesty. Enjoy today's episode. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Honest Hour podcast. Today, I come to all of you with a guest conversation. Our guest today is Claudia Goetzelman. She is a citizen of the world who's lived in four continents, and having overcome her own personal journey of healing, she is now a postpartum doula and a compassionate inquiry facilitator. In fact, she studied under my very own favorite healer, Dr. Gabor Mate. A former international fashion photographer, today Claudia is a spiritual life coach who spends her time helping others to step into their higher selves with her Permission to Bloom coaching. Welcome to the Honest Hour podcast, Claudia. I am so grateful to be here with you today having this conversation. How are you?
Thank you so much for this lovely introduction, and I'm very happy to be here with you.
Wonderful. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Claudia, let's get started. Why don't you break down for our audience what it is? What are all the modalities of healing that you do under Permission to Bloom coaching? And then maybe from there, you can give us your story of how you got to where you are today, helping others.
That is a podcast in itself. I try to. Thank you for the question, but I'm trying to keep it short. So I feel as I'm walking this path, I am called on this new path, and adding as I go along new things. I feel, you know, gifts of my learning. So where should I start? It started with my own personal death. That's how I actually got into it. So maybe I'm approaching the question backwards. But I had I had a very intense divorce, and I felt that I was dying. It was a dying process. Something had to die in me. And since I'm a very curious person, I got very curious around death. And yes. In this process of grieving and dying, I was on the sofa chain smoking for 6 months. Until I sort of found my own acceptance and realized that, you know, what does it mean to die? So I became, next step forward, I found myself in Boulder, Colorado, becoming an end-of-life doula.
Wow.
And so I learned a lot about death, and I got very passionate around the topic of death, because these are the bookends of our lives, birthing and dying, and we both handed these enormous, powerful experiences, magical experiences, over to the powers that are, to neon light filled sterile rooms. Instead of, and it's a foreign word, a lot of people in general get the shivers when I start talking about death, because it's always unattainable, it's out there, it's almost like nobody, we won't die. But then I thought, if I take all that, what we should know at the end of life, back into the middle of our life and share that, maybe we get a chance to be more alive and live a better life, instead of coming, as a lot of people shared this, at the end of the life, I could have, I should have. Why did I not see that? Why did I work so hard for nothing? I should have meant my relationships. I should have done this trip. And why do we have to wait to the very end of our life to come to that realization? Why not actually engage with that, that there is this end, but we're not there yet. So we can really create beautiful memories and feel authentic and enriched. And we're like, wow, you know, when the time comes, I did live a good life. It's okay. I'm okay to go on into whatever that going on may be.
So you're helping people find peace in the journey of grieving. And the one question that comes to mind is, as a postpartum doula, or as that part of your practice that you offer your clients, are you mostly helping people grieve the death of someone, a family member, or, as you say, their own personal deaths in their lives, helping them to live more fully now?
Both. Because with these tools from the end of life, and then I started Permission to Bloom, a midlife coaching practice, as I named it. I want to bring language and awareness to what we are right now, to our own, to get to know yourself more, to understand that we're actually every day dying, and every morning our body renews itself in its mystery, that there is a constant letting go, there's a constant grieving. There are many practiced deaths in our lives. We lose a friendship, a marriage, a job. COVID has showed us so much of what is near and dear to us. And there were so many deaths, right, of our communities, of things we couldn't go even to our favorite restaurant. Suddenly that was not accessible anymore.
Absolutely.
And we had to sort of, there is a grieving process, even in those little things, to honor that. Oh, that was, I cared for that. Oh, and how that affects us. And when we have language and understanding of these, of how our life, our decisions or the things which are in our environment really impact us, then we can be with everything in a different way. Then we can bring more awareness. Then we can make better choices.
100%. You're helping people with the most important part of life, which is accepting the fact that change is the only constant, really. And yes, as you say, we're all dealing with that on a daily basis in every season of our life. We're constantly grieving something that we are losing, as well as having to accept things or situations or people or circumstances that we cannot change. And in that process, finding the joy and understanding our values, which is incredible. I never thought when we were going to have this conversation that I would be interviewing a postpartum doula who not only helps people deal with the fact that we are dying, and people who are much closer to that than others, but also helping people using that modality to help people just accept life as it is for them now and to experience it joyfully. I wanted to ask you a little bit more of a granular question. When you're helping someone who is facing the end of their life, I'm imagining that you're working with someone who has a terminal illness. What are some of the tangible tools that you are working with? How are you helping them embrace this process and to have peace in that process? What does that look like? Can you walk us through that?
That's a beautiful question. And matter of fact, I have been with my father for the last 4 months, guiding him. And so I'm really literally next to him. He has been undergoing radiation treatment, and he's now in a care facility. And I would say he's in his own bardo. There's, you know, the 9 months of birthing when we come into this life. And then I would say there's also 9 months usually it takes for a person to leave the body, or the soul to leave the body. And I really feel that he has entered this stage. And his entire life, and as so many of us, I'm just using him as an example, have never engaged with this topic. He was like, oh, I'm just going to die one day. I don't need to talk about it because it's not safe. This makes us so uncomfortable to think of that this life could end. And in this last few 2 months, 2+ months, as we went to radiation, I spent a lot of one-on-one time with him. And I started asking him questions. And it's like, so how do you relate to this? You know, what if your life would end tomorrow? What are the most beautiful memories you want to share with me? How and then sometimes he because he doesn't have the language, he's like, I feel really uncomfortable. And then we started breathing together. I taught him how to breathe to calm his nervous system down. And he just loves it. And then and with my mom also, it's like, wow, this is even so, you know, even if we bring awareness, right, it's still so hard. There's this end. But then to be like, well, what if it is not really the end? What if it's just a continuum and it's a transition into something new? Would that allow some space and take some of this anxiety away?
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Let's take a short break from this episode. I wanted to take a moment to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. It means the world to me that you have taken some time out of your day to spend with me. I have worked so hard to improve the sound and content quality of this podcast for over a year now, bringing you over 40 episodes, and I can say with absolute confidence that it brings me the most joy in the world to share it with you all. I would love to continue sharing these amazing episodes with you and to spend more time improving them for your benefit. So, I come to you today in all my vulnerability and courage to ask you this. If you love this podcast, I would appreciate your support in continuing to host it for you for many years to come, bringing you even more fascinating guests and conversations from around the world. So if you are able to support me, every tiny bit helps to keep this podcast alive and going, and you can contribute to this journey today at anchor.fm/Christina-Mazurek/support. The link is in the description box of your listening platform as well. Thank you so much for listening to this short break and for your ongoing support, and have a beautiful time enjoying the rest of this episode.
What are the beautiful memories you can bring in and you can treasure and be like, wow, this is actually, I did all these things in my life to come to a place of acceptance and positiveness, I think is very, very important.
I hear you saying that you're helping walk someone through a little bit of a journey of faith, if you will, and that can look different on everyone, but I guess it would mean that they can have hope and see opportunity in the death of this life on earth, but not as it being an end, but almost as being a rebirth and a promise that there's something new. Have you, when you were explaining this, I was thinking to myself, you know, how as a mother, I've had a rebirth in my own life, and I'm constantly almost going through my own journey of being a doula to myself in this process of accepting my own mortality. And the way I do that is knowing that I want to leave the world a better place for my children, and I want to leave a positive impact on my children because what I leave behind is them. Now, I understand, because I actually had a very difficult childhood myself, a dysfunctional childhood that has led to a lot of my own trauma and thus a journey of inner healing, that some people might get to the end of their life and have deep, deep regret. They might not have relationships with their children. They might have never righted many of the wrongs. And maybe when you ask him those questions of, you know, what are you grateful for in this life, or what did you enjoy the most, maybe Have you ever experienced that you've worked with someone who has just extreme darkness? And have you helped them go through a journey of almost reconciliation with self and past and others?
Yeah, I mean, there is this, I am not here to convince anybody of anything other than I am a container or I'm a vessel to offer, come with my curiosity and offer questions and a reframe. So I can ask a lot of questions, which then hopefully can steer a different way of approaching this, where we're in, or take some of the fears away. And, you know, a very good, I mean, I'm sort of going a little bit bigger. Another question is also, or the work I do is like, what is your, you know, how do you perceive your legacy? What is it you want to leave behind? How do you perceive yourself? And there's a lot of self-work. And so, I mean, when we have 3 months, usually this stage is where maybe somebody would hire me or I engage is 3 months. There, you can do a lot in healing in 3 months, but I have to always come back to also to let's start way earlier. Let's reconcile a lot of these things, you know, in the middle of the life. And I mean, you asked me if there was sort of difficulty. I'm putting this in apprentice. Yeah, but I think the offering is, can we find acceptance? Mm-hmm. Can you give yourself permission to just accept that the life you have lived, the choices you have made were correct at that moment in time? And you don't have to question them right now at the end of life again. Just be with that, because in that moment it felt okay. It was, there was no other way for you maybe to be with your beloved or your whatever, you know, relatives, whatever the decisions are, whatever happened, and find that peace within, because it is really about the here and now and the energy you bring to your own journey onward. And I think there is something really beautiful and humbling in that, when somebody can really go, it's painful, but yes, I accept myself, I accept that journey, I showed up, I trust, Claudia, that person, and I hope that the people I work with, that they also were like, I trusted, I showed up the best way I could in that moment. That was just the way I was able to.
100%. They can give themselves grace and forgive themselves. But I guess even the act of recognizing that pain point and that trauma or their lack of forgiveness for others or selves, that journey is just so empowering and healing in and of itself. It doesn't even need to involve a conversation or an act. It's just an inner awareness. And that is beautiful. Beautiful was the word I was thinking when you were describing what you were talking about, how healing that can be before they pass on.
Yeah, even to be seen, to be heard, just to share. And even if that would be anger, but to not make it wrong, just to allow it. Because, you know, there's rage, there's anger. We carry a lot of emotions. Whatever needs to come and be set before we move on, instead of being intimidated, we're like, everything is welcome. There is no judgment. Just share yourself. And for a lot of people, this might be the first time ever that somebody says, wow, really? I can share myself? And that in itself is so healing. It's
absolutely
really, it's heart opening. Yeah.
It's just literally processing it, which a lot of people don't have that opportunity, as you say, to just share and be heard. Even the negative, yucky, uncomfortable emotions, just to get that out there and give it life and then just say, I let that go now, is so incredibly transformative. I did not know we would talk about psychedelics today, because I didn't hear you talk about that in any of your previous conversations. And I obviously do my homework before I interview a guest or have these conversations. I want to do my best to hold a space for you. So I'm going into completely unknown territory here with you. But tell me more about that new modality. What have you studied to do this now? How are you using psychedelics to help your clients?
Yeah, so the world is very fast changing on this topic. And, you know, as you know, there's a lot of legalization happening. So I'm in the process of becoming a psychedelic assistant therapist and integration. And the container I'm holding this entire work in is Compassionate Inquiry, which I studied with Dr. Gabor Mate. Mm-hmm. It's it's a modality to now I'm lost my train of thought. Sorry, oops.
No, you're fine.
I went into too many areas of like my compassionate inquiry. So I'm a compassionate inquiry facilitator, mentor, practitioner, as you want to call it. And I'm working with people, and I'm bringing that, my end of life doula work, also into that. It's about really getting to know who you are and finding peace and getting, you know, exploring our coping mechanisms, our traumatic childhood patterns, and healing. So with the with substances, that would be just another way in, but it's not the magic pill. Take some psilocybin or MDMA and then you're healed, because there's a lot of hype around right now because it's so new. And I really feel, even so we go into this altered state of consciousness, and it needs to happen in a very safe container with pre-work, and then when the person is ready to go into the state, and then integration, because otherwise if you don't integrate what you experience, a lot of things can go wrong. So safety and ethics are really, really important to me. But you know, it's so with that all said, we can really open ourselves up to a deeper understanding again, and to the oneness of what we are, the oneness of our existence, that we're all interconnected, to a more collective understanding of what our place in this world is. So we feel also not so alone with our own traumatic experiences. That was a little bit of a complicated answer, I think.
No, I loved it. You explained it really well. You're incorporating the use of psychedelics under the container of compassionate inquiry for clients who need to become aware of trauma or poor coping mechanisms and in order to process them and to heal. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, now I've lost my train of thought. What is it that makes you feel there's a need for the use of the substances to help that client along their journey? I would imagine that it's because they might not know why they're experiencing pain or coping in some sort of an unhealthy way. Is it a lack of awareness? Like maybe they've covered it up and they need that to open up in their mind?
No, so the way I work is right now that a client comes to me and we set out on our journey within the compassionate inquiry of mortality. So we really discover first, you know, who am I? What is my trauma? How did this trauma I experience? And it doesn't have to be a big T, it can be a very small T. You know, a belief system showed up. And I'm not good enough. There's, you know, we all carry them. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. And so on and so on. And so understanding our patterns, our coping mechanism, our enormous intelligence, which got us to maybe the here and now, but doesn't feel authentic. So once once the client has an understanding, and maybe they are curious there's a lot of, if you bring curiosity to this healing process, you want to go deeper. Maybe you want to understand yourself deeper. Maybe you want to connect deeper of like, who am I truly? What does that really mean to, you know, to what, can this medicine help me to connect to my ancestors? Can this medicine connect me to my mother? Can I help my mother wound in that sense? Can it help me to allow more forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Can it help me to let go of violent abuse I experienced, verbal or physical, let's say psychological, as a child? And with these beautiful medicines, depending on who the person is, we can open up a deeper pathway into that understanding. And then being held in that journey also by me or with somebody else together, and then coming out of it, and then helping the client integrate whatever they were shown, to integrate it over time and give it meaning, make meaning, so to say.
That
I think
sense.
That's the most powerful healing containers I think we have right now.
100%.
It's just all love. At the end, it all comes back to love, because we are love, to understand that underneath everything, there is love. And it's so hard for us to accept that, or dissect it, or scratch away all these crusty layers and life has put on top of us. And then
100%.
There's love, yeah.
I'm thinking of something you said in one of the episodes that I listened to that you mm-hmm. did. And it was, the fact that there is grief shows that there is love. And that had a profound impact on me hearing that, because it's so true. If you're hurting in some way, it's because of love, or a loss of love, or, and then you have to go through your process of further awareness and acceptance. And that's where obviously you come in to help people. And that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask about working as an end-of-life doula. Have you used psychedelics to help people in that journey?
No,
not
yet.
Life. Oh, mm-hmm. But is this the plan? Because I would imagine that would have an incredible impact on their process.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's you know, it's all really still what's legal, what's not legal, which country
right.
can this happen officially, not officially. But I mean, even with my dad, I was like, wow, how would it be to just go on a psilocybin journey, microdose maybe, just to open the heart together and really make some beautiful memory together, just to feel this connectedness between us and make peace and offer him this gift of peace as he transitions. And not, I'm not saying at the very end of the life as the last breath, but maybe, you know, before in, and I don't even know if he would be open to this, but it definitely crossed my mind. So, yeah, it totally depends. I mean, you have to, you know, if the client, the person I'm working with is open, it's also not my place to, I can offer, but then it needs to come from my clients to say, yes, I want that. I'm ready.
Right. I have some friends that work in the modality of healing with the use of psychedelics and various mm-hmm. other plant medicines. And a lot of times I've heard them say to me that you have to feel called to it, especially if it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking on careful territory here, because I don't know what is legal and in what country. And I also don't know how to hold a space for this part of the conversation, because I didn't do the research into the use of psychedelics as a modality for mm-hmm. end-of-life healing or doula work. But it's very fascinating, and it's definitely grabbed my curiosity. And I want to maybe schedule another conversation with you around the science and the deeper, all of the deeper layers of understanding around that line of work and that modality for healing, because I think it sounds fascinating. And it's so broad and diverse. There's so many different substances and they all do different things. And so that is fascinating. I wanted to ask you a question, and this might be another big question to unpack. So you can make it a smaller question for me if you want to. But how can each of us in our own lives now, not having to be at the end of our life, but where we are now, how can we discover what our own trauma is? What does that look like? How can you identify that there is a trauma? And then how can you go about healing that? What are the main ways you work with clients on that? Just the average person in the middle of their life. How do we discover what our trauma is?
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful question. So let's say you come to me and you feel very disconnected. There is an unease in your being. You don't have language. There's an unease in your body. You feel really out of place, out of space, and you don't know how to go on. So let's say we start working together, and the first would be, you know, to sort of start listening to your body. And maybe there was, as I said this earlier, like let's say there was an incident maybe in your workplace just a few days ago, and you reacted and you feel mistreated, and you don't have the power, the courage, or the tools to stand up against, let's say, your work colleague. You felt just so. That would be a beautiful way in. What is present for you? Why do you feel mistreated? And how does that show up in you? Is this familiar pattern that you maybe are a people pleaser, let's just say, for the lack of a better word? Instead of being authentic with yourself, you constantly give up yourself and you go all the way across to please that person. And then it comes back, fires back, and you're, wow, that doesn't work for me. It's just, I feel yucky doing this. And yet I have this urge of doing this all the time. So then I would take you into the body. And so often then we're like, what's present? Let's say anger. And then through that anger, what's underneath the anger? Where does that sit? Oh, in my stomach. And then is that familiar? Yeah. How does it, you know, usually people have visuals around that and what's in there. And you sort of slowly get to their sadness. And then the sadness somehow through this process, with like going into the body, become to usually a memory, this implicit memory. People are amazing. They just very quickly share, the first time I remember I was 3. So this memory comes up, and there was a moment where something happened where this little child needed love from their parents, but they couldn't get it. So they had to always, children, give up. You may know this from your own children. They cannot be authentic. They would give up authenticity in order for the connection to their caregivers, because it's our survival mechanism that we need our parents. We need that connection, that wiring to our parents. So in order to get that love from our parents, we often have to give up our authentic self, meaning if I become a people pleaser, maybe in order I believed way back then I need the love of my mother. What did I have to do to get the love of my mother? I couldn't be myself. I maybe did things, adjusted my behavior. Maybe I became an amazing actress. I was a dancer, a performer at the age of 4. Who knows what, right? In order to get the attention of my parents, because when I got the attention of my parents, suddenly I felt that I'm connected and that I'm loved by them. So we can trace it back. And once we can trace this back, there is usually a very big aha moment, and then we can realize there's a spaciousness. Wow, this is a pattern I established then. Because it's a pattern and a coping mechanism, I am now here, I can heal it and change it. And I can find out, who am I really authentically? That's sort of the process in a nutshell.
That's so beautiful. I can imagine that when a client goes through that process with you, they're able to then also understand and forgive how their learned coping mechanisms created more negativity in their life, which they were taking responsibility for, or maybe never did, but then got to the point that they did. And that's obviously going to feel horrible when you have to recognize that there's maybe dysfunction in your adult life because of your own actions. But when you can go through that process of understanding the pain points and the source of the trauma, you can forgive yourself and then also forgive the person that was sort of the cause of you inheriting that trauma in the first place. And then it's like you said, that it's all love. Like, really, we're all one. And we all come from the source of love, and we can let it go.
Yeah. And our parents, you know, not to make our parents wrong, because they didn't know any other way. They parented because they had their own experience with their parents, right? So we don't have to, we can, again, create this distance and see it as just something which happened to us. But then I can bring that self-compassion to myself and be like, wow, I understand myself better. I reacted that way. I became that way because this is my inner intelligence. This was my way of surviving. Mm. I had to people please, I'm going to stick with this example, in order to survive. So now I know that, and now I can bring compassion to this part in me, which helped me to actually be here right now. And then I can slowly heal it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought of something you said, we didn't know any better. And so that's why we coped in that way. But then Maya Angelou, I love this quote from her, when you know better, you do better. Yeah. And it really can be simple. We don't have to sit in a, you know, pool of shame for how we behaved inappropriately in the past because we were coping the best way we knew how. And I just love that work that you're doing. I know Gabor Mate does a lot of work as a physician. He started working with people that were experiencing pain in their body, and he then developed this whole process of compassionate inquiry to help people understand how our emotional health will often manifest in our body in physical ways. So could you give me an example? When you're working with people, do you see a common thread with pain in the body in a certain place, and then understanding that the source of that pain was a certain type of emotional trauma? For instance, let's say you have like chronic hip pain. Is that person holding on to something specific? Do you see where I'm going with this? Can you give us some examples of body pain and how it correlates to the emotional?
I can actually give you my own example.
Perfect. Yeah.
So as I already shared, I am in this enormous process right now with my own family. And I have been pulled back almost into the umbilical cord all the way home to my parents. And I've been, you know, helping my dad and my mom. And I know where in my lower back, I hold a lot of my core emotions. And when there is too much stress, when there is too much emotional load coming into me, into my system, my back gives out and says, my body says no, and I get spasms. And I know my body so well. And I do think, you know, I'm like, I got this now. This time around, I got this. And just 3 days ago, it was just this last 10 weeks were so much, and I did so much grounding and breathing and all the work I thought I did, and yet I did ignore my body again, and my back went out and I got these spasms, and I just, yeah, it's just our body constantly speaks to us. And I have this really incredible awareness to my body. I feel when I say certain words, it tweaks. I feel it. I am like, okay, I'm listening. And that's the beauty, right? We're all one with this, where our body tells us, and the emotions need to go somewhere. And usually they are held in our body. Like, you know, our shoulders. We even when we speak, sometimes we express, our body expresses our emotions the way we share the emotions or to share the story. Already our body says so much, the way we stand, sit, the way we talk, you know, fists, what's present, like what are we holding. And again, it's not in our society, there is no language around this. There it should be taught in school from you know, day one on. What does that mean to hold emotions in the body? And then we could be with it and release it.
It should at least be taught in medical school, where at the least, doctors, yeah. Because right. I think health is that way. It's integrative, it's holistic, yeah. And gone are the days soon, hopefully, that we're just looking at ailments and dis-ease and poor health as a black and white situation that we can just cure with a pill or some sort of a medical treatment. I think it's all very integrative. And that's why I love the work that Dr. Gabor Mate does, as well as yourself and all the other facilitators he's trained, to work in compassionate inquiry, because it is complex and we do hold emotion and pain and trauma in our body. And you can take pill after pill after pill, but the source of that is not going to be depleted until we've faced it head on and talked it through and let it go, right?
It's just a band-aid. The pill is not, it's just a band-aid. It numbs the pain, but it doesn't go to the core, to the origin. Mm-hmm. And until we understand it and face it, then we can heal it and we can transform it. And I wanted to add something else, because you asked for an example. For instance, when we go through intense emotions, it goes into our body. And a lot of people grind their teeth at night. And there's a lot of, yeah, it's a way of our body actually working through the emotions. There is this adrenaline. So for instance, you can release this this tension or this emotion by yawning and or lion's breath. I don't know if you're familiar with lion's breath, the yoga pose.
No,
you go on your knees. You can go on your knees and hands and stick your tongue out as far, and you can make a sound and really like, bah, like do it really like, oh, yeah, you have done that, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, just to allow these emotions which you're holding on to not fester in your body. Because if we, again, if we don't have language and understand that all this, what's going on in our life, sits in our body, then it becomes chronic. Your body finds the weakest spot. And then next thing we know, and it could be an autoimmune system something to do with that, or it could be your knee, your lower back, you know, migraine, headaches, anything, right? So it's just, again, bringing that awareness to really learn the body's language, to understand when even, I mean, we're tired. We are so tired as a society. And we never, and then we take just an upper or we numb out with TV instead of like, wow, I'm really tired. My body is tired. I just need to really, really rest. But the moment we rest, we get uncomfortable because suddenly there is silence. And then in the silence, the truth comes forward. So we're on this like, ooh, can't have that happen, because if I allow the truth come forward, then I have to face everything which is actually not correct in my life. So, you know, it's interesting, right? How it takes courage. It's a brave journey to say, I want to get to know myself.
It is. It truly is. And it's a journey, as you say. I've been through my own journey of learning all of the things that you've been sharing in this conversation. And the only place it's brought me to is a place of awareness and a constant journey of acceptance. I still get sick sometimes. I still get the body pains. But at least there's that learned level of awareness where I can sit back and say, hey, my sleep has been really poor. I've had a few colds, too much, and I feel quite run down. Like, what am I not allowing to surface and let go of? And it's always, it's just a constant journey of that and having to deal with discomfort, but it's better than dealing with chronic illness or chronic pain or having to take tablets because of an absolute lack of unawareness.
No, so exactly. Beautifully said. So wonderful. Yeah. And it's a journey until the rest of our life, right? It's a journey until the last breath. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the word I wanted to end with is, you know, there's this radical acceptance of everything. If we can come with that towards it, whatever it is, whatever is shown to us, there's wisdom in everything.
A radical
reframe. Yeah. You know, it's a reframe, right? Why am I angry? Why am I annoyed right now? Wait, there is wisdom. Something is shown to me. If I could just stop and breathe and allow this just to unfold a little bit in me and accept that, the wisdom will come forward. I will get it. I will understand it. And then once we allow that, suddenly that anger, which was so powerful, just goes away and it just, you know, dissipates. Because all it wanted to be acknowledged. It wanted to be seen.
100%. And then it's not so scary. Then you can let it go. Wayne Dyer says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that was life-changing for me. And you have said it so beautifully yourself now as well. Claudia, I'm so grateful for this conversation and for the work that you're doing. And I'm so grateful that your dad has you on the journey he's on now. He couldn't be more blessed. So
I am grateful for being with him on this journey, actually. It's such a beautiful learning and healing. So I'm very grateful as well. And yes, thank you for the conversation, for the space you offer, for your podcast, what you do to share this knowledge with all the people, all the guests you have. Yeah, it's one person at a time. We make the world a better place.
100%. It's all about the energy we're putting out there. So I think we did a good job of that today. And I hope that this conversation can touch many hearts and change relationships and lives for the better. So thank you. I'm going to put in the show notes where everyone can find you on Instagram and on your website. But until next time, have a beautiful journey.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Honest Hour podcast. I hope this recording inspired you to live in your honest truth. And I encourage you, if you enjoyed the episode, to subscribe and to rate the podcast. If you would like to connect with me online, I would love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram at The Honest Hour Podcast, and my website is christinamazarek.co.za. Thank you and have a beautiful day.